Rainmaker FM is brought to you by the Showrunner Podcasting Course, your step-by-step guide to developing, launching, and running a remarkable show. Registration for the course is open August 3rd through the 14th, 2015. Go to showrunnercourse.com to learn more. That's showrunnercourse.com.
This is The Mainframe. Welcome back to the final part of our Arc Reactor series, where we talk attraction, retention, conversion, and the reactor is the automation process. So this last topic is on adaptive content, and it's really too much to go into in one episode, so we're actually going to break it up into three different episodes. Let's start off with introducing what adaptive content is. Talk about the importance of adaptive content. How are you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing great. This is a really important topic. And we were talking before about how adaptive content isn't necessarily a new thing. It's the use of technology that makes it a new thing. And a lot of people claim they don't adapt the content to the audience, but I think most people do, right?
They do. And you'll see this all the time. And it's been happening since, you know, forever. I mean, plays have been rewritten to accommodate the audience. You know, a lot of times we see in the genre that you and I talk about a lot and love, you know, sci-fi, fantasy, comic book kind of stuff, showrunners and directors and producers talk about how they don't really listen to social media or they'll play off of it, but you can clearly see that they do. And some of them actually admit to it. It's nice that, you know, a lot of the Arrow crew will talk about how certain things have influenced them. Other times they adapt the content to better fit the storyline that they're trying to tell. So they have these different metrics that they're using, both internally and externally, that they use to adapt the content. And then you have people like Zack Snyder who listen to the wrong people or don't adapt anything and just keep making the same movie over and over again and calling it something else.
Yeah, listen to the fans, not producers.
Exactly. But yeah, it's something that happens all the time in creative content, and you can utilize it to better serve your audience.
Yeah, and we're not saying sell out, and we're not saying be populist, because there's a lot of negativity associated with, what's it called, fan service and all those things. It's like an artist, a creator should be directed by their own inner demons and they shouldn't pander. But in the world we live in, you have to serve an audience. You have to find out what they want, what they need, and adapt accordingly. It's not selling out, it's serving the need. So I have difficulty sometimes when people say, I'll give you an example, pop music. The fact that it's popular means a lot of people don't like it. But the reason it's successful is because, you know, Taylor Swift is targeting her music to 13-year-old girls. If you're not a 13-year-old girl, of course you're not going to like it.
Yeah, exactly. And also a good point when you're talking about that type of thing is how artists, especially in a situation like that, will tailor for the audience based on where they are. I'm a metalhead, former metalhead. Don't get to concerts much these days, but as a teenager, I saw tons of shows and I would go to sometimes see the same group up the coast of Florida. So I would, you know, Operation Mindcrime tour of Queensryche. I saw three different times in Florida. Each show was slightly different based on the arena, based on audience, based on a lot of things. It told the same story and they used basically the same set, but that's a simple adaptation of content to fit what you're doing. And we're talking more from a creative aspect here, but what we're talking about on this episode and through this series is how to adapt content to better attract, retain, and convert, right?
Exactly. And that means if you're going to attract the right people, if you're going to keep people interested, and then hopefully they're going to take up offers, you do have to tailor the content to who you're trying to attract. So the people who think it's selling out, well, carry on being a starving artist. You can carry on begging under bridges. But at some point, you have to have something that's commercially viable, which means attracting the right audience, keeping them loyal, and hopefully selling them something.
And that's exactly what we're talking about here. So if we're going to define adaptive content. It's basically the right content for the right audience at the right moment. And preferably, you're creating the content one way and then slightly adapting it using different technologies to deliver that to that audience at the right time. So think of it as marketing automation, but one step further. The thing that we see a lot with marketing automation is it's designed for a sales force. Some sales forces use it really well. Other ones, like all the crap cold calls or cold email spam I get, use it really poorly. They basically are just doing follow-ups to follow-ups that have no real context to any kind of conversation. And they end up being marked spam. So even though you can use the technology to follow up on a sales lead, a lot of times if you're a content creator or your main focus is using content for marketing, you don't have a sales team. So the content becomes your sales vehicle and you adapt the content the same way marketing automation would follow up with a lead and nurture a lead using a sales force type mechanism. Use adaptive content to allow the content to nurture that lead through the process, right?
Yeah. So what we're talking about is basically going from a purely manual approach of just creating the right content for the right people to delivering the right content to the right people at the right time. And as we've said before in this series, a lot of it is like as if the salesperson is right there, except instead of hard pressure salesperson, it's a salesperson that listens and is using their data that they collect as the conversation progresses to tailor the message so that it answers the right questions and it gives the prospect comfort to move forward. And the fantastic thing about doing this in a content way versus an actual conversation, the audience is in control and they get to request more depth or more detail when they want it. If you consider a really long, complex sale, it could be that there's an overwhelming amount of information, but by it being on request rather than pushed at them, that means they feel more in control, they get as much as they need, and they can go into detail and the stuff that really matters to them. And on our side, as people drill down, you can see that and you can measure that and you can create more content or you can direct them to existing content that's going to help.
That's exactly right. Because the idea of using technology sort of in this automated process, we've been talking a lot about automation. And automation could be something as simple as personalization of an email to something more sophisticated that's based on if a customer does X or they've seen content Y, then they will like this. The benefit of using a content strategy around that is it allows you to adapt that content as a person. So you, as somebody who understands your customer from these metrics, are now utilizing these automation tools who put the content in front of them in a way that best fits what they need at that point. So it's not sort of this automated, robotic approach to just delivering content and sticking, you know, first name here and there, although that's actually kind of part of it. It's more about looking at the overall picture of what your customer is trying to do from lead and prospect all the way to sale and then retaining that customer and making them a repeat customer. So you're following them through, you know, we've talked a lot about the buyer's journey and you need to look at how this person is mapped out through the process and then create the content in a way so that you can create it once, but you can segment it out and you can adapt it using technology to better deliver that content at the right time for that customer.
So let's go deep into how we can use the Jerry Seinfeld technique to really tailor our content assets to that audience.
The Mainframe is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, a complete website solution for building your own online marketing and sales platform. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform. Stop trying to hack together your website yourself. Head over to rainmaker.fm/platform today and get back to building your business.
So stand-up comedians like Jerry Seinfeld, they wouldn't just go on TV and do a big show with untested material. So an element of this is testing. It's going to small groups and seeing how they respond. How can we do that with our content rather than a stand-up comedian? How can we do that with our content marketing?
Okay, so using that same analogy, that if you're doing something for a specific type of audience, you're allowing the content to develop around that picture, right? So what you're trying to do with using content marketing is you're doing the same thing. So you're not a comic going in and testing material in small clubs to get feedback, see where laughs are before you go into your big show. But you're using small bits of content through email channels, through social media, through pillar content that you put. We talk a lot about using cornerstone content as a way to kind of gauge an audience where your attraction is coming from and what is retaining them on your site and then leading them on to conversion. So these are ways to test material because each of those pieces of material, your cornerstone content, which could be the form of landing pages, your social and blog posts, what type of content is attracting what types of audiences and what type of content is really sticking with them and helping them move further through the funnel, right? Because that's what this whole concept's about.
Exactly. And we've talked a bit about the customer experience. What you can do is you can use the techniques of empathy maps. So you can map out the prospect and then the environment that the prospect's in. You can do the customer experience journey and you can map that out. You can practically storyboard it. And a stand-up comic knows their beginning, middle, and an end. They know the journey they want to take their audience on, but they're going to be agile within that and they're going to develop that journey and improve it over time. So what we're not saying is that this thing has to be this fully formed, perfect thing that you deliver to your audience and they just consume it. What we're talking about is all through the process, getting these content assets together, how they connect with the audience, but measure all the way through. And with a comic, if they don't get a laugh, they cut that piece out. With your content marketing and your sales funnels, if you don't move them forward, if they don't take actions, then what is your plan B?
That's right. Because what you're trying to do is you're establishing a framework here. I mean, you know, just like you were not talking about having a fully formed, you don't have to have this entire thing completely mapped out. You want to have a basic framework. I mean, a good example of this type of content is in South Park, where they have a basic core foundational structure. They have a set of assets that they use as characters and backgrounds and so forth. So they're able to adapt and create shows to better fit the current news, you know, the current, you know, whatever the latest topic is, the latest gossip. And we've actually seen episodes where they've created an entire episode around a very newsworthy event on the fly very quickly so that they could deliver something that was very timely. And they do that by creating a set of assets, storyboarding things out, creating a framework so that you can mix and match and move things around to better fit that particular topic. And it's the same type of thing you're doing here. You have small, digestible content. You have more meaty, in-depth content that you have as far as, you know, blog posts. And then you also have sales type content that is landing pages. And what you do is you create a framework of those, and then you allow your adaptation based on your testing, your tracking of who's doing what where to better fit that into the different channels. That's really what we're talking about, is how to fit this into the proper place in the channel.
Yeah, it's the channels and it's where your prospect is at in their journey. Just looking at the attraction piece, they could be completely unaware of your solution. They might not be aware that they have the problem that you're solving. But then all the way through to people who are highly sophisticated, they've got an urgent need and they know that you can solve the need, but they need convincing that they can trust you and that there's proof and that the value is there. And there's a whole spectrum of people along that. And then within each channel, they will be at different places. So you need to work out what content assets you've got, the appropriate channel it works in. For example, images work very well in Pinterest and Instagram, but images work very well in Facebook as well, with the addition that you can have text to go with it. But you don't want people to be hanging out in your social media channels. You need something to bring them back home to your home base and into your funnel. So what's the incentive going to be for those people? It's no good giving an incentive that requires all these prerequisite pieces of information if they're completely unaware of the problem and the solution. And this is where a lot of one-size-fits-all content goes wrong. You're either overselling to the wrong people or you're completely missing the target, and 95% of your audience is left bewildered or frustrated.
And I think you nailed it right there, Chris, with the whole wrong content at the wrong time is really what you get when you have a one-size-fits-all piece of content. And by having different channels and different types of content, you can do two things. You can target your funnels and use various automation tools through email, through automation tools that are available on your website, to tracking in your analytics and metrics tracking, to push people in the right direction. And you also can create maps knowing where people are going to go on their own to allow them sort of that choose your own adventure thing that we've talked about several times, to allow them to pick the right content for where they are at the right time.
To sum up this episode, start by gathering your assets. What assets do you have in terms of images, flowcharts, infographics, audio that can be transcribed, text that could be read out as audio? What can you turn into presentations, webinars? Gather those assets together. Work out where they fit in the buyer's journey. Is it good information to attract people about the problem? Is it good information to help keep people interested? Is it something that you could sell or develop to sell? Work out what channels it works out best in, and then map it all out. 99% of the time, you're going to have a really good store of content that you just need to bring out. It could be 2 years old, but it could be brought up, polished, and put out and repurposed. Then look at how it maps to the customer experience that you want to deliver, the funnels that you want to deliver, and the customer profile. Fit it to the empathy map. What you're going to be doing is developing a foundation of content that you can grow and build upon. Nobody's expecting it to be 100% complete.
Exactly. Now, on the next episode, we're going to be talking about learning where your prospect or your customer is in the process and in the funnel so you can better adapt the content for them at the right time.